Okay.
You made such brilliant comments.
Well, you'll have to say them over again. Very good. Okay, we began discussing the book of Yonah. And last time we discussed the fact that Yonah got the word from God that he was supposed to go to Nineveh and prophesize, and for whatever reason he decided that was a bad idea. Different possibilities as to why he thought it was a bad idea. We'll go with the main reason being the fact that he was afraid that the people in Nineveh were actually going to
repent,
listen to him, right? And he did not know what to do with a case like that. So because of that, he ran away. He gets on a boat. He's trying to escape. Why is he trying to escape? We focused last time on the idea that people can only get nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. And because he would leave Israel, he wouldn't get nevuah, he would not receive prophecy. And if he doesn't get prophecy, that's it. He's home free, not a problem. We have one or two actually for the home for the latecomers. We're very sorry about France.
Belgium, not France.
I understand. I'm sorry that they won.
Should we close the front door?
What?
Yeah. The front door, no? Mm-hmm. Close it?
Rachel said. CSS, hard at work here. Okay, so here, so he comes, he gets on the boat, and after he gets on the boat, right, there's a great storm. Now, this great storm is a very localized storm. Only over that boat. That's about as localized could be. And it became clear that this was not natural. So everyone cries out to their gods to save them. With the exception of Yonah, what does Yonah do? Yonah does what any good Jew would do in a situation like this. He goes to take a nap. So they come down and they say to him, "What are you doing here?" Last pasuk we did last time, Vayikrav Elav Rav HaChovel, Vayomar Malcha Nirdam, Kum Krel Olecha, Ulai Yisashes Olehim Lanu V'Lono Veid. He said, "What are you doing here? Why are you lying down like that? Perhaps you can cry out to your God and he'll save us." Vayomar Ishal Re'u, L'chu V'Napilo Gorolos V'Neidah B'Shalmi HaRa'azos Lanu V'Yapil Gorolos V'Yipo HaGorol Yonah. They said, "Let's figure out whose fault this whole thing is." And they go and they draw lots, and the lots fall out on Yonah. That was last Thursday's topic. Rashi comments here. Let's start with that. Number one, L'chuvin napilo gorolos, roim hayu shar svinos holchos b'yam b'sholom. What? Now tell me, on the Titanic, did they go and draw lots to see whose fault it was?
No.
No? So why did they think it was such a good idea? Why don't we go draw lots now?
Because
they realize this isn't normal, right?
Yeah.
So Rashi says the rosh hayushar sfinos halchos beyam b'shalom. Everyone else is going v'shalhem mishtaberes, but theirs is breaking. Almost feel echad b'manu who came matzino b'pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar. So it must be that there's somebody on here. It must be something unnatural, something going on our ship, and that is the reason they went for this. The Abar Brunel expands on it a little bit. He says, so the Barbanel asked the questions that we asked, why exactly were they drawing lots? B'divrei ha-malachim, malachim here being with a ches, being the sailors, asher ba'aniyah, sh'amrei, l'chu v'napilu goroz, edo b'sham mi ha-sar ha-gadol hazeh, lanu. Ki hinei ha-sar ha-bayam, asher yikra l'aniyos, hu davra tivi. Why are they doing this? If you're having a storm, that's something natural. Why we're gonna take lots and try to determine why is it so hot today? It's been such a hot day today. Well, let's go draw lots and see who in this year is responsible for that. That's not so normal, right? What's the answer? So that's the focus. If you look at the pasuk again. He turns around and he adds a word that doesn't seem to be necessary. He said, let us pee and figure out why this is going on. Why is this happening to us? Right? Meaning that's what Rashi's pointing out. Lanu is happening to us, but it's not happening to anybody else. So that's why you know there's something wrong here. Interesting, in the Sefer Chasidim by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, it talks about this idea about when is it appropriate to draw lots. So it says, Let's say nowadays people are going on a boat and there's a terrible storm, it's going to potentially sink the boat. But then you see everybody else is getting by without a problem. You know then, if this is not natural, that there is somebody on the boat that's responsible, and in that case it is appropriate to draw lots. And if they do it three times in a row, and it ends up being the same person each time, you're allowed to throw them off the boat.
Which law is that exactly? Where does that fall?
That would be the law of the sea.
I see.
Admiralty.
Got it.
Admiralty.
I just hadn't heard that one, so.
Right. Well, have you ever taken a course in admiralty?
No.
I actually did.
Did you?
In law school, that was the last course I took a course in admiralty. It was given by a professor who was old, senile, and never took attendance. So hence my deep interest in admiralty, and it worked out for the best, shall we say.
What is admiralty?
The law of the sea.
Ah.
You ever have a question about the law of the sea, you come to me. I'm the posek achrim in these issues.
Okay,
Rabbi. And before we draw the lots, you have to pray that the lots actually work. It has to only be the person who deserves it. Shenamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael hava tamim v'ksiv v'yipol garol al yoda. So in fact, this is the proof to it, that this is in fact the reason that we see that. And they say, in fact, that even nowadays, if you do it the right way, you have the right to pitch the guy in this case. Now, I don't, in terms of how practical is this, I'm not really familiar with the type of perfect storm that only happens on top of one boat.
Right? It wasn't in your admiralty course?
What?
It wasn't in your admiralty course.
Not on the day that I came.
But you did cover this law about throwing somebody off the boat?
Right. I actually only showed up for the final. That was the only. That was my last final in law school, and that's why I'm a rabbi. I actually got a B.
All right.
Just for the record, I got a B
good
in the course. So, that's the story. So they decided this is what we're going to do. We're going to draw lots. Drawing lots in general is not a smart idea, but given the fact that these are desperate times, they called for desperate measures. Rabbeinu Yonah has an interesting point here on this idea. That they have an idea that we have to get rid of the person, is you'll note that were they to not have removed Yonah, I don't want to ruin the ending for anyone, removed Yonah, what would have happened if they were just kept everything as is?
It sounds like the boat would have broken apart and they'd all have died.
Right. Now, is that fair?
No.
Nechama says no.
What, fair about what? What do we?
Why asking? Should all these people die? Because they just happen to end up on a boat with the wrong guy.
Got it.
Right, that's not reasonable. So Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva points out as follows: Now, in the event that you see someone doing something wrong, you have to tell them and you have to try to stop them, because if someone does something wrong and you don't stop them, you're responsible. And in fact, if someone sins, everyone else just lets it be, everyone will be punished because of that. We see this in the case of Achan. Achan's coming up shortly in Yoshua, where Achan was a fellow who, at the time when there was the war against Jericho, so Joshua fought the battle of the Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. But afterwards, when they went off to fight a simpler battle against a smaller city of Ai, they lose initially. And why do they lose? Well, there was a cherem. No one was allowed to take any of the spoils from Jericho. And in fact, somebody did. And because of that, what happened?
They lost.
And people were killed. And the people were killed were not him.
Even though he took the booty.
Correct. So you see from there that we are, that Kol Yisrael, Arevim, Zelazer, were all responsible for one another. Right? Up until that point, up to such an extent that if you don't, right, then...
And how did they know it was him? It was lots again?
So afterwards it was lots again. Now, this you might think only applies to the Jewish people, but doesn't only. In fact, the Shari Tshuva says that even among non-Jews, if a non-Jew knows that somebody is sinning, it doesn't stop, but they are responsible as well. What is the proof for that? Our pasuk, right here. He quotes it. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes Yonah, who said, "V'neida b'shalmi ha-ra'azos, av kisol shem arim zel v'zeh." Right, he said, let's find out who it is and let's take care of it, because if not, we will be responsible as well. Very interesting. So now we know, let's just pause for a moment and talk a little bit about the story here. Yonah is doing something wrong. Because of that, the boat's going to sink. Because the boat sinks, everyone goes down. Do they have a right to kill Yonah and save the ship?
Sounds like they did.
So again, let's say, I don't know. I have two people that are dying from kidney failure. Can I kill you and take your kidneys and save their lives?
Didn't the Sefer Hasidim say it's fine?
What? Correct. But the question is why?
Well, in the case of the kidneys, it's not like anybody's fault. So I can't like kill you if you didn't do anything.
Right. So what about Yonah?
Well, Yonah's doing a chait, which is
like chavi.
It's false.
So what?
He's doing a chait, then it would stop the killing someone. Yeah, but he was a
chavi.
They were allowed to.
Well, Yonah tells them to throw him off.
Well, if I tell
him... He's in a lifeboat. He's going to have to kill him.
No, Yonah says. They said, what should we do? And he said, throw me off the ship.
But if someone comes up to you and says, can you please kill me? Can you?
No.
So what is Yonah saying that make it different?
Well, because they're throwing him off the ship. Nobody knows that he's for sure going to die.
Yes, they do.
Well, it's a pretty it's a pretty good bet. So let me ask you this. Yeah. So if someone comes up to you and says, Michelle, throw me off a ship.
You're like, well, we did the go-round three times. Rabbi Rack said, off you go.
So you didn't even have to ask me.
But we'll see you back on shore.
Good luck. So there.
Sorry, it's my phone, but I don't
know what it is. I have a question before that, though.
What?
This doesn't make sense to me because it's, you know, Yonah was a Navi. He was a very good person.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a ship with what? Tzaddikim?
No.
If Noah was able to be saved from an entire generation of terrible people and he was Tzaddik, you know, Bedil Rosav, you're telling me that Yonah deserved to die by the hands of these people? It's not possible.
As opposed to the hands of God.
Right.
Why?
By anyone at this point. How do we know how bad he was, really? He made a mistake. He's on this boat.
But
right?
the person who has made the decision, I wouldn't call person, that this guy's got to go, is God, right? Who's doing the weather here?
God.
It's not Pudge the Fish. It's God who runs the weather.
Right.
Right? Right? So God says that you know... he's going to kill him, so what's your...
But I guess my question is really, he was more guilty than anyone else on that boat?
That's what God seems to think.
Yeah, and the lot's fallen.
Right, you know, again, I'd give God some credit. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a very famous Tosefta, and also Yerushalmi, which says as follows, Ovde chachovim shomer Yisrael, tnu lanu echa michem v'nagenu, v'lo yitnu, right now we get surrounded, and they say, okay, either you give us one of you people to kill, or we're going to come in and kill you all. What do we do?
Well, it depends if they specify which person.
So that's, again, the first thing we said is, give us one. They don't specify.
Well, then, no, you can do it.
Then everyone's okay with that? Kill them all?
We can't do it.
We can't give them all. That's what the Rama says. Lo yinu achad mehem, ela im ken yachdu. What if they turn around and they say, I want Jenny? Then what?
Then you can do it.
So that's a machokes. Lanu ploni. That's the opinion of the Rambam. B'yesh omrim. However, the other opinion is that feel b'kahayat gavna in l'moso elam kim chayiv misa kesheva bin bechri. Other people say, no, if the person they asked was actually chayiv misa, then you can. Like the case of Sheva bin Bichri. People know who Sheva bin Bichri was? What?
He started a rebellion
against?
David.
And how did that work out?
Not so good
for him, right? So what happens? In the end, he goes into a walled city, he's in a tower, and David's people surround the tower. And they call, they say, what do you want from us? And they said, all we want is Sheva ben Bichri. So what do the people do?
They throw over his head.
And they say, okay, that's enough. You can keep the rest of it. Right? So there's a machokas, whether if it's only after one person or is only, even if it's after, or does that person have to be chayimisa in order to kill them? So the Tiferes L'Moshe on Yeridea says, well, that's what's going on in Yona. Right? He says, even though generally there has to be a specific request, you're allowed to do a goro and then give the guy over. So you two be named Kuvda de Yona. Later on, by the Givonim, right? The Givonim demand that David give over 7 of the descendants of Shaul to be put to death. And did David do it?
Yeah.
How does he pick which 7?
No, so he has Rachmanus and Mephibosheth.
Right. And the other ones he just what? One potato? You I don't like. So it says that he would walk them by the Aron, and the Aron would choose who goes and who stays. Right? So he said, that's the same idea. He said that the same way that, you know, miraculously you can pick out which ones go there, so to here you have a right to miraculously. So the Goral was reason enough. Meaning that in general they couldn't have killed the Yonah in order to save themselves. But once it was clear that Yonah was the one, then it's the idea of Yichdu, that one was, you have a right to do it. Most people assume, by the way, not this way. They assume the reason that they had a right to kill Yonah was not necessarily because of the case that it's considered as he is the chosen one, but rather because of Yonah is what we call we have this in the medical ethics here already,
a rodef.
Because Yonah was killing them all. Yonah would have been responsible for all their deaths.
So that's true in any of these scenarios. If they say, give us one person and we'll kill you all.
Absolutely.
What? So not really, because, what?
Sure.
Because again, wherever it's more of a case of being stuck in a room with somebody who has a communicable disease. You have a right to take care of them in order to. So that's the question. One way. Now it's all interesting because I thought this is what you were getting at, is all this lundus, whether we're passing like this opinion of the Rama or that opinion of the Rama. Who were these sailors? They were not Jewish. No. Well, see, they seem to be really, really nice guys. They do whatever they can to save Yonah's life.
Didn't they convert when they got back to land?
Oh, ruin it for everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see.
Man, you're such a spoiler.
Right. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I kept thinking about the Jew.
Right, but at this point, they're definitely not Jewish.
But then also, it's still a sign.
What? Right, again, the simple answer was, you know, they did wrong. They weren't Jewish. They didn't have to do it. But for some reason, the Mefarshim all worked within the idea that they were doing what was right. At least trying really, really hard to do what was right. Okay.
So you're just trying to be ethical people, basically.
Right. Pasuk Chesvayom Ve'elov, Hagidu no'lanu ma malachtecha ve'yayin tavo ma'artzecha ve'mizega amata. So they turned to him and they said, tell us a little bit about yourself. Right? Right? What do you do for a living? Where are you coming from? What's your nationality?
What do you do?
Okay? Tell us a little about it. What type of questions are they asking here? What silly questions? So Rashi says, who did you sin against that you got us in such trouble? Ma malachtecha. Maybe you cheated in business? Is that what you are? Maybe there is some gezerah against the country that you're from. Right? What they're trying to understand, what could Yonah have done to make him responsible, to have him in such a situation that they're all going to go down? So he answers, he says, I am an Ivri, meaning that I am a Hebrew, I fear God, the God of the heavens. He is the one who made the sea and the land. So, what's he saying here? So he turns around and he says, Ivri Anochi, and I fear God. Why does he fear God? Is this, again, one of the reasons is that I am a God-fearing man. It has nothing to do with this. Right? The simple reason is that I am a religious man, I am not a sinner. In general, I wouldn't be in this situation. A second level understanding is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there are different types of Navi Shekers, of Nevi'im who don't do their jobs. And it says there's really six categories. Three of the categories are Lisa Bidei Adam. Three of the categories, if a Navi does something like this, he's put to death by the worldly courts. V'shlosha Bisasam Bidei Shamayim. And there's another three categories where he's put to death by heaven. What are the six? Misnave Mashalo Shama. If a person gives a nevuah that he in fact never heard, just made it up. Mashalo Nemarlo. Or if I say that a nevuah that was given to someone else, it was given but not to me. Vasval B'shem Avodah Zarah. Or if I say that an Avodah Zarah came to me. Misasam Bidei Adam. In all three of these cases, the person could be taken to court and put to death. Again, it's a little bit tricky how you're going to do the evidence here. How are you going to prove that the guy never heard this? But you leave that to the Gemara to figure out. Hakoveshes Nevaso. If someone receives a nevuah but doesn't give it over, Hamavata al Divrei Navi, or someone who ignores the words of a Navi, but Navi Yashad Avra al Divrei Atzmo, or a Navi who gives a Navua, gives a prophecy, and then himself violates it, Misasam Bidei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, what is the classic case of a Kovesh as Nevuaso? What is the case of somebody who is given a Navua but does not say it over? That's what we say here. Kagon Yonah ben Amitai. That is the case of Yonah. So Yonah is what? He is what we call a kovesh as nevuaso. He's a person who does not give out his nevuah when he should. What is the punishment for that? Misa bidei shamayim. So who's going to kill him? So what does he say? Es Hashem ani yorei. I fear God because I know God is going to kill me. And that's what's happening right here. So it seems from there that what is he saying? He's saying that I am, in fact, you know, the person, I'm on the run from God. God is the God of the earth and the seas. And that is the reason why I am, I assume he spoke Yiddish, Gahak the Tzaris. Right? He was a religious man, of course he spoke Yiddish. The Medrash comments this. Armohem Ivri Anochi. I am a Hebrew. Armohem Valo Shamanu Ki Alheo Ivrim Gadohu. We heard that. Why don't you pray to him? It's a pretty great God you've got there. If this guy could split the sea, he probably could take care of a little bit of a storm here. Armohem Bishvili Yatzar Hazo Svalechem. He said, no, you don't understand. It's because of me. Now, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, while we were discussing this, we spoke about the idea that why did Yonah think he could run to the sea? So we gave different answers, that maybe it's a matter of just getting out of Eretz Yisrael. He thought that once you leave Eretz Yisrael, he won't be able to get Nevuah anymore. If he doesn't have Nevuah, he can't give Nevuah, etc. But another answer that was offered by the Medrash, which nobody liked, was what?
That God wasn't in the sea.
The guy, right. Kvodo, his glory was not there, right? We say, Mole Ha'aretz Kivodo. We say, Al HaShamayim Kivodo. Right? We say that on the earth is his glory. Al HaShamayim, in the heavens is glory. It never says his glory is over the sea. So Yonah thought, I'll go to the sea and I'll be okay there. Everyone said, nonsense. Come on. You think you really believe that? So here's the answer to it. So the Medrash says, he said, Ki Melofon of Ani Boreach, I am running away from God. Ki Chashavti Ki Ein Bayam Kvodo, I thought that his kavod, his glory was not in the sea. Now I see it's in both. How do we see that? Well, let's look back at the pasuk we just read. What does he say? Ivri anochi. Then he says, "As alkei hashamayim anirei asher asa eshayam the eshayav asha." Now he gets up. He says, "I admit that this is the same God that makes the not only the earth but also the sea." At this point, he says, "Listen, I realize I blew it. I thought I could get away from God by going out to the sea. Here I am. I'm stuck." Now with that, does he tell them the whole story? So the Radak thinks yes. The Vayuki, so what happens then? So the next pasuk says, Vayira Hanashim Yira Gadola. All of a sudden the people have a tremendous fear. Vayoma Elav, Mazos Asisa. What did you do? Ki Yadu Hanashim Kilifnei Adonai Hu Barech, Ki Higir Lahem. Because he told them what's going on, so now all of a sudden were they afraid beforehand? They were afraid beforehand. Why were they afraid?
They were going to die.
But now they're really afraid. Before they just thought they were going to die. Now they're going up against God. So what happens by Yiru? So the comment is Ki higid lahem kisha amr lahem es Hashem o kei Hashemayim ani yare amr lo im kein hecha hech. He said, so if you're such a religious man, why the storm? And now he's forced to tell the whole story. I'm a Navi. And God was sending me to Nineveh. And it was very difficult. I couldn't bring myself to do it. So therefore, what did I do? Yes, I ran away. So therefore, I ran away. I was trying to avoid the nevuah. So in fact, the Radak says he told them the whole story. Because they said, I don't understand. If you're such a God-fearing man, why does this God who you fear want to kill you? He seemed to be a nice enough fellow. He said, I don't understand. This is personal. So in fact, the Malbim comments on this. He says, at this point, what does it mean the people were really, really afraid? He says, Vayura ha'anashim yira gedola, ki mashka d'chira vayura ha'malachim. So in the beginning, they were afraid. Ha'isa yira sa'sakana. In that case, they were just scared of the danger. Ava yira ze ha'isa yira sa'shem. She godl mil ma'asa lefi gadlus ha'etzam ha'shiyisa ha'menu. But this, they realize that things, in fact, are worse, and therefore they're much more nervous. Right, so they gave him Musar. How dare you mess with God? So now they know the whole story. They know what's going on. They realize that, in fact, God wants them out. Wants him, sorry. They said, okay. So what are we supposed to do now? The people want to know. How are we supposed to calm the sea? How are we supposed to save ourselves? Yeah, Barbara Nell comments on this. So what's going on here? He said, so they kept on doing the lot over and over again to try to prove that the lot was random. But every single time it ended up on Yonah. And not only that, Yonah admitted it. Right? Yonah himself got up and said, it's me. Here's the story. So lo yishlikos Yonah el yam. Still they didn't want to get rid of him. Throw him out. Why? I will show menu. Ma na'aseh lecha. There's got to be another option, right? They did not want to kill this man. Interesting. We raised this before. I'll just talk about it a little bit outside. What is the value of his admitting it?
In general, if someone comes to court and admits guilt.
Well, the value of his admitting is that they are no longer wondering if it's someone else on the boat or
so. That's, well, again, is that true? So again, someone shows someone again. We have a criminal case in court, and in Beis Din, and a person comes forward and says, "I admit it. I broke Shabbos. I robbed the bank. I killed somebody." Do we punish based on that?
No, you can't make yourself a Russian.
So what's the story with this over here? So the Rambam writes very clearly that we do not accept when people on their own come forward and admit crimes. We are very serious against self-incrimination. Why not? Why don't we accept it? So the Rambam writes that it could be the person is just, you know, psychologically unstable. Right? Oftentimes, you know, there's something now called death by cops, where somebody, if someone wants to commit suicide, they'll speed through the highway, swinging lanes, and then the cops will pull them over, they'll reach into their jacket, and the cop will shoot them. So someone who doesn't have guts to do to commit suicide himself, well, so another way you could do it is by fessing up to a crime. So therefore, the Rambam says we do not accept when somebody fesses up to the crime.
What about Vidoy, though? Isn't
Vidoy
confessing basically your sins?
Well, based on Shalmata does not punish based on that.
Right.
The Vidoy you're talking about is part of tshuva.
Right. So what if this person wanted to do tshuva?
Okay, but that's great. But we don't kill them based on it.
What if the punishment for...
That's between the person and God. You admit it to God, and God will do what God wants to do.
Even if you just want to come clean in court, let's say?
So again, the court doesn't accept it. Interesting, the Sefer HaChinuch thinks that this rule does not apply to non-Jews. Sefer HaChinuch, for whatever reason, thinks that if a non-Jew confesses a crime, we accept the confession. That, of course, is not relevant here because Yonah is Jewish.
So but, why the double standard?
What?
Why the double standard?
So again, if we follow the Chinuch, right, that is one opinion. The reason would be as follows. The rules of evidence for convicting under the seven Noahide laws is different than the laws of evidence convicting under the 613 laws of the Jews. And this would be another exception to the rule. So, in terms of what is the requirement, the vidui is different, etc., etc. So whatever the reason is, this is not out of the ordinary for there to be different rules of evidence. So, the fact that he confesses, on the one hand, maybe halachically doesn't have any value, but practically, you know, you have time after time you keep on getting hit with the garol, and he confessed it. Still, they don't want to do it. They want to find another out. So they said, well, what can we do to stop this? Other than killing you, the Abarbanel is saying. What would the options be?
I'm in the ocean.
Well, again, that would be killing him. Let's say I don't want to drop him in the ocean.
Try to get to land and drop him off there.
Right. Go tell God, okay, I'm willing to go to Nineveh. We'll give you a ride. Right? That's all you got to do, big guy. Just say, God, I'm sorry, I'm willing to do it, and we're all good. You know? Non-stop. We'll take you right there right now. You want to go, we'll take you back to Israel if you need a little more Nevuah. If you want, we'll take you to Nineveh. You want to make a delivery. You know, we're willing to do whatever can be done, you know. We'd really rather not kill you at this point. The other option. Shalvu mimenu. Ma nasa lecha v'yishto kayom eleinu. Rotz lomar achresha taborech mevdei Hashem yisparach. Since you're running away from God. Ma takantech. What can we do to fix this? Ha'im shenolichecha el makom asher devar hamelef daso magia. Should we go back to where God talks to you and you'll work it out with him? Or say, God, I swear, I'll go to Nineveh, I'll deliver the message. Right? I'll do what you told me. Oh, you got a different idea? We're open-minded. We'd really, 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 really rather not pitch you over the side of the boat. So he says, come on, we really don't want to kill you. Vayomer alehem, sa'uni vatiluni al hayam, v'yishtok hayam alechem, ki yade ani ki v'shali ha'asar ha'gadol ha'zeh aleichem. He says, listen, hezuchzi, the reason for this is me. There is no other way out. You want to get out of this? Throw me over the edge. That's what we have to do.
So why doesn't he just jump?
So the Sefer Chasim says, why doesn't he just jump? So Ksav Tsa'uni Vitrun El Hayam. V'lama Omar Oriyona Tashrich Atzmuch El Hayam. You could have been a non-Jewish seller. Maybe you were one in a previous existence.
I could have been.
Could have. I had a feeling based on my Kabbalistic intuition. I wasn't going to say anything, but now that you raised it.
Right. So why did he just jump?
He didn't want to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm. So asking someone to kill you isn't suicide?
It's assisted suicide.
Dr. Kevorkian. I mean, isn't it?
You'd rather put the responsibility on other people?
Yeah.
Why did they not just put them on like a part of the boat if it was already cracking anyway?
You had a lot of good ideas how to kill him. Have you spoken to someone about this? Okay, but you know what? Assisted suicide is not suicide. It may not be a good thing. We probably do not support that type of thing. Maybe it'll pop up on a Monday night at one point. But assisted suicide is not suicide. And again, therefore he's trying to minimize. He'd rather it happen that way. She said, practically, he says, it's better not to throw the guy, it's better not to jump over. And, if there was a lifeboat, that would have been even better.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, but they didn't have one, though. That was the problem. So, he says, listen, we've got no choice. You've got to throw me off.
So wait a minute. So in the Abarbanel's comment, what can we do to ameliorate this? We can take you back. Yeah. Well, he just says no. I'm not going. I mean, so do we assume that's what he's saying?
Yeah, I don't agree to go give the nevuah. I'd rather die.
I'd rather die, but I don't want to commit suicide.
Correct. God wants to kill me. Kill me. You guys want to save yourself? Throw me off. One way or the other, I'm going.
Okay.
Go swim. All based on Avas Yisrael, but he didn't want...
Avas Yisrael. Right. That's what we're assuming. He didn't want to deliver the message. Right, as we said earlier on, that he was Tava Kovod Habein V'Nat Kovod Ha'av. Right? He was concerned about the Jewish people, whatever he could do, and even if it meant his life, and even if it meant his afterlife, for that matter, he was willing to take one on the chin, for the sake of Klal Yisrael. That's what it came down to.
If somebody else does it.
Why didn't he just commit suicide?
What?
Wasn't getting rid of his afterlife anyway.
Well, he's not. He might lose it, but obviously it's another. He's not going to run out and do a flat out Avera like that. He doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would you mind repeating why he didn't jump? I didn't quite get the answer.
He didn't jump because he didn't want to commit suicide. He'd rather that he passively be killed.
Oh, okay.
They said, "Forget it. We're not. This guy's not help. Let's go and row back to the land. That's it. Let's go row back to the land. Right there.
You're not
going to
make it.
Ruin it for everybody.
Spoiler alert.
Did not happen." Okay.
The boat's cracking under them.
And they cried out to Hashem. And they say to him, "O Lord, please don't make us do this." Right? They really, really, really don't want to have to throw him over the side. Said, "Don't make us kill it, right? And don't, have innocent blood on our hands. Because you're the one, you can do whatever you want."
They davened, he didn't?
What?
They davened before he did?
Right.
They're trying everything.
Unbelievable.
Right? Yeah. Again, this is you can say it's unbelievable, but it is psukim in the Navi, so
yeah,
that
no,
makes
it
believable by definition. An interesting comment. I threw this onto the sheet just because I think it's an important statement to be made. It's not related to the shot at all, but it's a story about the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav lived in Bnei Brak around the time of Hakamas Medina, the establishment of the State of Israel. And the Brisker Rav was definitely not a Zionist. I think that's a fair statement to make,
okay. Right?
And this is a telling story. So he called Mishvidman HaGriz. Griz stands for Yitzhak Zev. He's known as Rav Elbel. Right? He was the uncle of Rav Soloveitchik. Right? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had two sons. One was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and one was the Griz, Yitzhak Zev Soloveitchik. Moshe Soloveitchik went to America. He became a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, as did his son there afterwards, the Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, as opposed to his other son, Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, went to Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Oz beis paratz ha-medina v'rabu chalomish she's onenum defanav. So what happened was, in the beginning, the early years, it was very difficult to live in Israel. Right? Financially, it was very difficult. In terms of the neighbors, it was very dangerous. So people came over and they said, we understand why that's going on. We understand why we're having such a hard time. They said, what's going on here? He said, there are people in this country that are violating Shabbos. Right? There's all these aveiros that are going on here. And this is the land of Israel. It's the holiest land. It doesn't stand for this. This is why we're economically having a hard time. Militarily, we're having a hard time. So why is anyone surprised that things are so bad? Everyone's doing aveiros. What do you think that Rav Elbel answered? Rav Elbel turned to these, I don't know, if, I wouldn't call them chassidim of his, but you know, because they're probably Litvish. Nana hu zal v'omer, lama mid'arben kol kacha chata'ayim? Heim, umitzvadim al avonosam, heim. Why do you come to me and talk to me about their sins? And how sad it is that they have sinned. V'chi yatzreinu akol kshura, everything's great in our backyard. We have no sins. Let's think of this case. There is a boat full of people, and they're what? Idol worshippers, right? If you remember a few minutes ago, a few psukim ago, everyone was praying to every idol under the sun. Mm-hmm. And it says they all cried to their gods. And when I say, who is it? What does Yonah say? Bisheli Hasara Gadol Azeh. Yonah says, it's me. You're doing Avodah Zarah. You've got your problems. But I'm telling you, all the tzaris is because of me. Even though these were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and Yonah was a Navi. Sheisir v'itru al-yam, noch ha-yam izapo, anachnu shom ha-chatein, al-chat ha-chetam sha-achirim. And in fact, Yonah, the Frumi, was the guy who had to be thrown over and save everyone else. So maybe you fellows should stop doing vidui for other people's sins.
Throw yourselves over. I'm kidding.
Hmm? So that is a pretty strong commentary from Rav Elbel. So Rav Elbel, who again was not a supporter of the Zionists at all, but he stood up and said,
"That's interesting."
Right. So
say them.
Right. You know, it's enough. This is a problem that rabbis always have. You get up, you give mussar, and they always say, and they come, you sit down, and the first guy says to you, you told them, Rabbi. Yeah, you told them. Back to our pasuk.
We did?
You know, playing the role of Merrill tonight. So, if you look at the pasuk we just read, there's two words that seem to be spelled. Anna Hashem Hoshiana. How do you spell Anna? How's the word Anna spelled here?
I can't do it myself.
What? How's the word naki spelled? General.
Without an olive.
Without an olive. Right? And here it is spelled with an olive. Two typos on this very page. Oh my goodness.
It must mean something.
You think?
Really?
So the Radak just points it out. The Radak's makes it clear, don't make corrections here.
Don't? In other words, don't edit it.
Right. Ana behe. That's his only comment.
Yeah.
There's a hey there. Don't get us wrong.
Okay.
Naki ba'alef. Right? Kederach ba'alef ha'alef navi nasi. Just like there's other words that we add a silent aleph at the end. The word navi ends with an aleph. The word nasi ends with an aleph. The word naki, here it ends with an aleph, even though generally it doesn't. Why? There's some approaches to this, nothing great. I'll just note that in Yoel, the word naki at the end appears with an aleph as well. And the Mincha Shai talks about it a little bit. He said, Nichtarav ba'alef al pi al mesaris. V'chein v'alti ten aleinu dav naki, v'yona. He points out that this is one of the two cases in the Tanakh where the word naki has an aleph at the end. V'heim min yud beiz milan d'ksivim aleph besov tevusa v'lo karinan. And he said, there are 12 such words out there in Nach, where there's an aleph at the end of a word that is silent, that usually would not be there. It gives you a simen pointing to where it is. But again, we're not going to spend our time going through the ins and outs of the diktuk. There's a lot of questions about this. But just note, there are two very interesting words in that pasuk. Both of them are...
But why an aleph?
What?
Why an aleph? I mean...
A silent shin would have been better.
Well, a hay would be nice, you know.
Well, there is a hay in the ana.
But my point...
You got your hay.
I'm saying, often we've had it hays to people's names and things like that, but why an aleph?
Right, so again, so this is a dictal question as to why this
I
was
see.
Done in this case.
Don't get me
but again, but it's odd enough that Mefarshim felt it necessary to tell you, don't change it. That's supposed to be there.
Okay.
Right? Whatever reason the reason is, but in fact, it's notable that it should be there. Okay, so he keeps on insisting, you got to throw me over. This is the only way it's going to work, is if you throw me over. So what happens finally?
They throw him over.
Vayisu es Yonah vaytiruha el hayam vayamod hayam mizaapo. So with that, they throw him over, and with that, suddenly the sea is calm. Now, it wasn't that simple. Looking back, there's a very large Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Vayikra, which goes through the entire story of Yonah, so we've seen it a few times, we'll see it again. So the Rav Shimon points out that these people did everything in their power to avoid it. Rav Shimon Omer, number 17, Lo kibru ha-noshim in Yonah la-hapilo la-yam va-yipilu gorolos. They originally want to do it, so first thing they did is they drew lots. K'moshen emar va-yipilu gorolos va-yipol ha-gorol al-Yonah. Okay? Okay, that wasn't enough. They said, well, let's see if we can avoid it. Let's, whatever we have on the ship, let's throw it off. We'll lighten the ship, we'll be able to make it through. And it didn't help at all. So they said, okay, let's just turn the boat around. Right? They've tried everything. They've made suggestions. Finally, ma also not to us Yonah v'amdu al yerecho basfina, v'amu elokei olam Hashem, al titen reinu dam naki she'ein anu yodim ma tivo shel zeh ha'ish v'omer b'fiv b'shvili hatzor hazos ba'alechem. So listen, God, we don't know this guy. He insists that's because of him that this is happening. Hatitilo so ad ar kubosav v'amar yamizapo. So they put him in the water until his elbows. And the storm stopped. They took him out. It's not raining again. They put him in until the first time to the knees. Second time they put him into his belly button. Took out it rains again. They finally put him all the way in, and that was that.
It's like witch dungeon.
Right, well, he's a witch. And with that was the end of it. So now he gets set free.
So they let go.
Right, they realize there's no other option. And with that, that's the end of Yonah. Yonah is thrown off the edge. Last pasuk. Vayiru ha'an ashim yira gedola es Adonai v'zizbichu zevach Adonai v'yidru nidorim. For the third time, they were scared. Right, first you had Vayiru ha'malachim, they were scared of the storm. Then when they heard of his story of a year, Gedola, and now they're scared yet again. Why are they scared?
Because it was so powerful.
Right, they were scared that they were murderers at this point, that they've messed with the wrong God. So what did they do?
Took vows.
Before they took vows. They made sacrifices. They made sacrifices and they took vows. What type of sacrifices, what type of vows? So this was mentioned earlier by Fran, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, this is the source for it. Chazal v'Yafo, so they went back to Yafo where they came from. V'alu Yerushalayim, and from there they went to Yerushalayim. U'molu es besar marlosam, they had a bris milah, these fellows. Shinema v'yir anashim yirah gadol es Hashem. V'yizbechu zevach ha'ashem.
And they converted.
Right, so now you know what they were scared of. V'chizavchu zevach, did they really bring a carbon? Ella, zed dam bris milah shu kadam zevach. Having a bris is like bringing a carbon. They said, I'm going to move my entire family and have them all become part of the Jewish nation, and that's in fact what happened.
So this didn't happen on the ship?
No. Okay. It all happened afterward. So they were so moved by this entire story that these sailors, who were all over the Avodah Zarah at the beginning of the ship, had one of the all-time great Kirov trips of all time, and with that, they all ended up Jewish. So that ends the first parak, and that ends this part of Yonah. You'll never guess what's going to happen next.
Oh, I can't wait.
But oh, it's going to be exciting. We will continue next week.
Thank you, Rabbi.